Following is a Srimad Bhagavatam class, 7th canto, 14th chapter, text number 14, given by Srila Arvinda Sarupdas on April 21st, 1992, in Philadelphia.
An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, pancha suna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for edibles for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord, and therefore one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on land, and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, pancha suna. With such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. So this chapter is about Grihastha life, which of the four ashrams is the only one in which economic development is sanctioned. Brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis are not contributors to the gross national product. They're not producers of wealth. They, in fact, are beggars. One group, the householder, produces wealth. And the householders are supposed to maintain the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. So although there is this facility for producing wealth and economic development, it's limited. So this is a great contrast between Vedic culture in materialistic culture. Materialistic culture pursues economic development at all costs and under all circumstances, at all times, in all places, without any end. And that's what the news is always all about. Money, making money. So here again, it is said here that If you're intelligent, actually you should be satisfied with doing as little as possible that needs to be done for economic development. You do as much as you need for performance of sacrifice, taking prasad and so on, and then quit. The plea is, of course, that we have to be in the anxiety that if we don't work, we'll starve, and that all this huge enterprise is going on just to provide us with the necessities of life. That's what they say. The necessities of life are already provided. From this point, Srila Prabhupada, the Shastra, is very, very clear that there is no living entity on the earth without the arrangements there to maintain that living entity. Here he quotes, Eko Bhuvanam Yogadadati Kama. The One, that is the Supreme Lord, is supplying all the desires of the many. So Krishna has arranged it that there is sufficient foodstuff for everything. Prabhupada has always said that people are screaming about the dangers of overpopulation, and therefore because of this overpopulation there has to be abortion and birth control. Prabhupada says, no, there is no overpopulation. There are sufficient resources to feed every human being on this planet, that it used to have far greater number of human beings in earlier times, and there is no problem. That's what Prabhupada has said. So this business of overpopulation and so on, he says, is a ruse. Prabhupada says it is not the quantity of population that creates the problem. It's the quality that creates the problem. If people are demoniac, then the earth will not produce. Then there will be reluctance to supply. But if the population is Krishna conscious, everything will be there. So when people are properly following the orders of Krishna, and Krishna is being satisfied by sacrifice, then everything is there without any in big endeavor. Now people are having to work harder and harder for less and less. So this is because of mismanagement, not because the earth is not capable of maintaining, I think. If people are not being maintained, that's also deliberate. That's the result of people's past impious activities, their present impious activities, that they're also not being maintained. Just like in a hospital, some patients are fasting because it is the doctor's prescription. Not that there's food in the hospital, but no, you can only eat liquids, you have to fast. That's for their cure. So also that happens here. But the point is, one should understand that Krishna has made the arrangements, that there's no emergency, that this fever of I have to work, 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 that things will come that you need of their own accord. And therefore, it says, one should not work very hard for material comforts. Then people say, well, if I don't work very hard, what do I do with my time? That's why people are working very hard, really. They don't know what to do with their lives. If things come very easily to them, still, then they're bored. They don't know what to do. So they have to open another factory or tear down another forest just to kill time. They think they're accomplishing something and making more and more and more. One should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. People have misplaced their energy. It's natural that a person wants to think that I'm achieving something with my life, that I'm progressing, that things are getting better. And the problem is that people have transferred this notion of progress and improvement to the material region, where they think that I have to get better and progress more and more on the basis of money. And people have to think that this year I'm making more money than last year, and last year I made more money than the year before. Because right now you see in the United States a period of prolonged economic decline. People's lives lose their meaning. The parents want to say, we didn't go to college, so our children have to go to college. Because we have to progress, we have to move up in the world. That's what they all think. Because they want to see some advancement somehow or other. They want to say, I achieved this with my life. So they try to do this in the material way. And it creates havoc for everybody. They abuse the earth. They take the resources that God provides and so misuse them that even though in the midst of plenty, people are starving. And there's more than enough of everything to go around, and still huge numbers of people are getting nothing, while others are glutted to the full. Why is this happening? It's because people have transferred their notion of progress to the material level. And understand that it's most of it's at a certain level, your necessities are satisfied and you cannot actually become any more happy. Once you have a nice meal, whether you eat it on a paper plate or a banana leaf or a gold plate, it's going to taste the same. By the time you chew it up and gets to your belly, you know, it's pretty much none distinguished from anything else. So there's not that much you can enjoy. For people, they have to have it. So they feel they have to make more money this year than they made last year. And if they don't, then they feel their life has no purpose. They can live without the money, but they have to think that this is happening. So everyone is greedy and they're in this fever. So they spend their whole energy of their life for this meaningless advancement in an economic way. Because they don't know. And of course, the whole thing is very hollow because there's no improvement. No one is really helped. It's all illusory. Prabhupada calls it Maya Sukha. Oh, not Prabhupada. Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj. Maya Sukha. The illusory, which Prabhupada translates, literally means illusory happiness. Prahlad Maharaj refers to people, materialistic people, as engaged in Maya Sukha, illusory happiness. And Prabhupada translates it as the illusory advancement of civilization. Because there is really no advancement. you go through all this stuff to improve things, but you find out now you have automobiles. Your friends used to live in walking distance. Now you have automobiles. Now your friends live 50, 100 miles away. It takes even longer to see them. And now you've got to put up with highways. Nobody wants the highways. You know, it took almost my 25 years to get this one blue route in. Remember when I was in high school, they were working on it. because the blue route goes through the main line. So none of those people wanted that road in their yard because they had money. They were able to stop it for years and years and years. It's just not finally completed because nobody wants it. They want the road, but they don't want it. If it can't go through poor people's neighborhood, then they really get upset. Once you provide a highway to go through neighborhood of people who have money, and therefore can hire lawyers and things like that, and the cost goes way up. Nobody really wants them. They're wide, they're dirty, make noise. You want to look at countryside, you want to see six lanes of highway. Nobody wants them. Nobody likes automobiles. They pollute, they do so many things, make these hellish factories. There's so many disadvantages. What you have to do just to keep getting the gasoline, you have to have a huge army, a huge navy, tanker fleet, big tankers that go aground and destroy all this. When you could have just walked out the door, gone two steps and visited your friend. Now you have to have the car, you have to have all that. Maya Sukha, the illusory advancement of civilization. After all that, what's being gained? Well, you can go from 0 to 60 in 30 seconds. I think I am the controller by sitting at the wheel of this machine that's likely to kill you anyway. So all that's done. Think of everything that's being done. How much just in America, the so-called advancement of civilization, the rise of America, all depends upon the automobiles, Henry Ford, all this stuff. And you actually see what is the, if we didn't have them, everybody would have to go through a whole thing to get used to it, but after that, what would happen? Life would go on. People would be happy. And you just go slower. And people would work. It's unnecessary. So, all that energy and effort and brilliance and talent and skill that went into this whole development of automobile culture and things like that, all those grown men who sit in the offices in Madison Avenue and figure every year different ways to convince you to purchase this car as opposed to another, grown men, adult human beings, spend a fortune and hours and hours and hours, the precious moments of human life, just to get the right angle of camera on the front fender of a car for a commercial. Adults do this. And this is what happens. Instead of using their time for something serious, for something real, advancing in spiritual life, something tangible, this is what they do. So no wonder at the end of the time of death it all seems hollow and meaningless. We didn't really accomplish anything after all this effort. What have I done? They've lived their lives and they have nothing to show for it, except the fading memory that at one time I had a lot of money, which is no good to me now. And those people I made it for, my sons and daughters, those green sons of bitches, just devouring me like vultures. They're just waiting for me to die. That's the satisfaction. So here, this is a different conception, a radically different conception of human, so revolutionary idea that we should actually try to get us by with as little material activity as possible. We do what we need just to satisfy the basic needs of necessities of life. It should not be very hard because the arrangement of the Lord is already there. If you just flow with that arrangement and accept it, what comes naturally of its own accord, without too much endeavor, you accept as your lot. Some people, you know, with the same amount of endeavor, they may get a little more. Other people with the same amount of endeavor, you may get a little less. Doesn't matter. Just so long as you get what you need to keep body and soul together, then you can spend the rest of your time in spiritual development. Body and soul together, that's all. Simple thing. How much sense gratification are we allowed? Bhagavatam says, enough to be healthy. It doesn't take a whole lot of things. Prabhupada noticed that when the first time he started to see people running, you know. Even in India they started doing that, you know, joggers going out in the morning, running. He thought it was so funny. They hear people sit around all day, they don't exercise, they just eat and eat and eat, so now they got to go out in the morning and run. And just so they can keep their body and soul together. They don't work. You know? I remember one time we had some devotees in the temple. You'd ask them to go, you know, take the garbage out. And that they couldn't do. Then they had in the basement, they had all these weights, they could sit and lift weights, you know. Which is not devotional service, but taking out the garbage was. And both built up your muscles. So the same with this running business. You know? People, all of a sudden now they have to run. It's very simple to do exercises, but still they've got it so, you know, you have to spend your exercise programs, you have to spend, you know, $3,500 on this chrome and black leather machine and it pulls this way. And you can do push-ups on the floor, you know. But everybody, you know, they like to buy it. And then you stare at the machine and you watch it and gradually you use it less and less. Every time I see them, they're in storage in the basement. I never see anybody using them. It's just that notion. Everything you need is already there. What you need for health is also... almost all diseases are caused by overeating. And so usually for your health, people eat less. I mean, this country, right, they want to... So much is there, the idea to spend money, that in order to diet, it costs you more than to eat. Because you have to purchase some diet program and motivational videos and special powders. So they can just... It costs you more not to eat. They've got it so worked out. You know, whether you just, you know, if you just fasted as a spiritual exercise periodically, no problem. You know, you don't feel it's real unless you have to spend money for it and go out and work and everything else. So they've got this crazy mentality. So remember, as they say, less is more. So we have this. You should understand this. It requires some karma. Krishna is providing everyone with food. Every day the sun comes up. Millions and millions and millions of living entities wake up hungry, and in half an hour they're all fed. That happens every day, day after day, day after day. No problem. Krishna is doing it. It's already there. You know, they don't build, they've got their little system. Krishna's provide them with their little systems, you know. It's Spiders, for as long as anyone knows, have been making their webs and, you know, doing very nicely. You know, they're not trying to learn, you know, manufacture polyester webs or anything. They're all webs that they're given. They're God-given, you know, webs, and it works really good. You know, you can see the spiders giving together and seeing how they can make, you know, super web. You know. Really, you know. See if we can supercharge our webs somewhere and, you know, surplus bugs, which we can then sell to the... Anyway, they don't do like that. They get what they need. Same with a human being. A very simple satisfaction of that. So that's ideal householder life. No unnecessary economic development. You will have leftover time, and that's to be used for spiritual life, not for anything else. Then you actually make progress. Every day you can be better situated than you were the day before. One generation after another can increase and increase. You can increase without any limit in spiritual development. And so you will have that satisfaction, and whatever you gain will not be taken away, not at the time of death or any other time. So that's actually what human life is for. Any questions? Comments? Yeah?
What are these Panchasuddha yajnas?
Five kinds of sacrifices is part of another system for Grihasthas. I don't know anything about it. It's a different, somewhat of a different system.
But what are the five yajnas?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what five kinds of yajnas are.
Maybe it's translated to, they could be performed in place of honoring prasada.
No. It's also in the karma, it's a karma kanda section of Veda. They're prescribed rules for householders who are in the Varnashram Dharma system. And the householders have to perform five kinds of sacrifices, and they eat the remnants of those sacrifices. The system that we have is we have deities, householders have deities of Krishna, and they offer everything to Krishna. This is our, you know, Pancharatrika Vidhi system, which is a different system than what is talked to in detail here by Narada Muni. It's a little different. Here he, in this section, Narada Muni says, is it later on or early, he's talked about renounced order of life. He says that, you know, brahmachari should wear deer skin. That's a somewhat different system. We don't wear deer skin. Vanaprasthas and sannyasis should wear bark. We don't, you know, so there's some difference in the particular application. So my understanding is not that eating prasad is a higher level of realization than actually panchasuna. If you do panchasuna and you do it correctly with full realization, then it's the same thing. But it also can be done without that realization, and therefore it's part of the karma kanda notion of the Vedas. Okay?
Yeah. It seems that the way that civilization is set up now with all these artificial things like highways and houses way out in the country, it seems like the Krishna consciousness movement is asking everybody to give up these things, but it seems like it actually takes a very long time to actually come around to a workable system.
Yeah, well, when you, as we see, that economic changes are the hardest thing in the world, practically, for people to go through. Look at what the Soviet Union, or even look what ISKCON went through when we did our little economic changes. People have a very hard time with that. And I don't, myself, particularly think that... I wouldn't be surprised if we never ever get to the point of saying no automobiles. But just say you actually had the automobile industry, the people who are running the automobile industry, gradually became devotees. And you had an automobile industry in the mode of goodness rather than the mode of passion. That's not a contradiction in terms. Automobile industry in the mode of goodness. So what do you do? Well, first of all, if the people are really in the mode of goodness, they say, why are we spending so much time, our effort, you know, making cars or redesigning them every year? Let's make a car that lasts a lifetime. Hey, we all know how to do it. Right? After the technology is there, it's simple enough. We could make cars. All the engineers, they know how to do it. They've been frustrated for years because Detroit won't let them. They want them to fall apart after 3 years. So let's make this. So first of all, you start making cars that last, you know, 20, 30 years. Well, what a change that will be. And then why do we need all these different models? You know, let's have, you know, your couple up. We have a, what do we need? Well, we need a van, and we need a sedan, and we need a truck. That's what you need. And maybe like Henry Ford, just one color. He said, you have your choice of colors, black or black. He thought it was frivolous to want different colors. So we could have one color, two, you know, orange and white, say. You know. And that's that. And then you know, you can have one or two factories turn out all the automobiles anybody would ever need. Same car, interchangeable parts for everybody. Just imagine what it would be like. And any improvement you made, it stayed improved. And you could still, you know, things would still go on with automobiles, no problem. But wouldn't that be, you know, can you imagine? Think of all the workers and the automobile mechanics who could then be freed up for spiritual life if they wanted to be. But you propose that now, you know, that's a formula for total economic collapse. Just to make a car that lasts a lifetime, which is perfectly capable of doing, and, you know, simplify the thing as much as possible. That kind of, but if you start doing that kind of thing, you'll see that gradually we'll work around to what we really, then people, you know, they'll find out that they need to travel in automobiles less and less, you know, and so on. So we'll see what happens. But as gradually the people that run civilization and the country, the economy become more Krishna conscious, you might actually find these sorts of transformations taking place.
Well, I didn't understand how come that you started talking about sitting down to not having variety. Because in Krishna consciousness, you have a variety that is, and it gives you dovetail and you need for variety.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because like you're saying, we'll be down to one call or one, you know,
mom. Yeah, right.
In Krishna consciousness, you think everything and you dovetail and use it in Krishna service. Why are you saying that? I was wondering, then how would that make you different than, say, a type of people like the Amish, who, you know, they realize that there's so much that as a warrior, you know, patriot faith of spiritual life, and so they're very subject to that. So I'm, you know, I don't understand how come Krishna consciousness, and having a Krishna conscious world, is equal with having no more life.
I didn't say that. I don't know why the variety has to be expressed in, you know, huge numbers of different kinds of automobiles, you know. I mean, colors is not really a big problem if you want. But, you know, just so long as you have varieties of foodstuffs, varieties of flowers. I mean, you don't offer automobiles to Krishna, you know. He has to be the enjoyer. Yeah, that's all right. So, you know, you can do those things. You can get down there and do some pinstriping and whatever else. Put little flames coming out of the wheel wells. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. But look what there is. There's just variety now for the sake of change for change's sake. You know, just because people are restless, bored, you know. I mean, just because we don't believe in variety, it's also not our philosophy that a man should have a new wife every other week, right? That's more variety, so it's good. It has to be put in the right place. Yeah, we don't practice. But
because
then the vegetarian stuff. So it's in the right place, you know. Varieties of flowers, varieties of clothes to offer to Krishna, varieties of things. Anyway, the idea is just to keep the economic, the things that are distract you from Krishna, as simple as possible. But within, like for example, there's plenty of variety within kirtan. And when you get too much, then it starts to get weird. It starts to go from prescribed devotional forms to just stuff for other kind of sake. Well, you have to follow the rules. Anything else? Yeah?
You were mentioning early in the class about how before there used to be more people on this planet than there are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the previous yugas, yeah. Population was much greater. The problem says that.
Sometimes I think it's hard to break out of the traditional idea that everything started with Adam and Eve and everything's kind of.
Well, yeah, that's not what happened. There were more people on the planet. That's what it definitely said. And that it could maintain. Prabhupada said the earth can maintain more people because it's a burden of love. And because it's a burden of love, she doesn't mind. Just like a miser doesn't mind the weight of his gold, or a child, the weight of her mother, the weight of a child on her lap. It's a burden of love. So similarly, if the population of the earth is pious, Krishna conscious, then the earth provides. The description is during the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, everyone was so happy that rain would come at regulated times. It would only rain at night. There was plenty of rain. The cows were producing so much milk that actually the pasture ground would get muddy because it was always leaking out of their udders. That even the mountains and the oceans were producing greater numbers of jewels and gems and things like that. So that's what happens because the earth is alive. And if she doesn't like what's happening or being done to her, then she's not going to be as generous as she could be. Time to stop. Thank you very much. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.
Following is an excerpt from